Thank you. What a powerful man. Nothing can separate what I have in me. Nothing lives me. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God. See, you have no rival. You have no rival. You have no equal. You have no rival. You have no equal. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Come on, church. Yours is the glory. Yours is the favor. Oh, name, what a powerful name. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus, God is the Lord. What a powerful name. Nothing can save me. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. You have the shelter of your wings, God. You're the promise I hold on to.
Thank you. Awesome and great is your name. worship Him this morning. Let's sing Savior. Jesus, Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, for you overcame. Come on, let's lift our voice this morning, sing Savior, Savior.
Welcome the live streamers this morning. Yes, I hope you enjoyed the worship. We know you're going to enjoy the word.
Amen.
Amen. And I think, where's Andrew? We Facebook Live now too? No, not today.
Oh my goodness. Hallelujah.
Well, Andrew is the reason we're not Facebook. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing.
He's actually here to help us.
He is. He's going to get us working. Yes. But I think I'm probably more of a reason why we're not. So anyway, we're excited. We have Lexus, we have Andrew, and we have Randy downstairs from the main house. They come over to help us this morning.
Yes.
We appreciate them so much.
Amen.
Except when Alexis is outside my door distracting me from my work, then it's not so appreciated.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or she's in my bubble. She likes getting in the bubble a lot. Just kidding.
Praise
we love
Lord,
you guys. Thank you guys for coming. We appreciate you.
Amen.
Amen. What else do we got? We got Thanksgiving.
Christmas Eve. You already been through Thanksgiving unless you're already focus on Thanksgiving 2019.
No, I'm thanksgiving God for the season that we're in.
Amen. Praise God.
That's what I think.
Well, we have New Year's Eve service, not
Christmas
Thanksgiving.
Eve.
We already
Christmas
did that.
Christmas Eve service.
Oh, Christmas Eve service. Woo, I'm as bad as season.
One of us will get it.
I
bless the Lord.
You that quick, right? I covered you that quick.
Thank you, baby.
But yours in the past and mine is down the
front. It's all right. We're having Christmas Eve service tomorrow at 6:30.
Yes.
We're excited about it. We're going to have some food to eat before, snacks to eat beforehand.
Hallelujah.
And after, if there's any left, so you could come early, stay with us in fellowship. Amen. We have some special singers this year we're excited about.
We have very great special singers and songs.
Yes.
Amen.
We're excited about
Hallelujah.
That. So that's
no X's in Texas, but we do have some good songs coming forth.
Yep, not one of them brought forth. All my exes live in Texas. Not one of them. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Kim? You sure you don't want to sing that one?
So far away, you cannot hear me. Praise God.
You were 10 miles away. That was Dave's.
10 miles away.
And then Jeff's was solo.
Solo, you can't hear me. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But we are going to have a great time in the Lord. And we're just going to reverence that New Year's Eve and what it really means to have Christ born and all of that good stuff, and we're going to have communion, so it's going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Then we have service on Thursday night. Don't forget, we will have service on Thursday night, and then we're going to have a prophetic convocation at the main campus Sunday at 6:30. That that night, on Sunday night, so you come and be with us for that.
Amen.
Matt Nichols, Pastor Matt Nichols, yes, from over in Indiana, God, is going to be giving the word that night, and then there's five or six, seven pastors that are going to be gathering together, listening to the voice of the Lord, and going out and doing whatever
Amen.
He tells them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's going to be exciting. If you have not seen yet, or if you were not here on Thursday, we want to let you know that the building...
Oh, yeah. Has arrived.
The frame of the building, it's a steel prefabbed, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Building, and it is sitting out on the land right now. Amen. That's exciting. And I never want to give information to the other ones. I try not to, though. I don't give to you. So this is where we're at in the building, and this is as updated as we are. So we're going to give you guys everything we've got. What they're waiting for is the prints to, or the approval to come back on the prints from state so that we can lay the foundation. Okay, they were going to lay the foundation and put the building up. So now they're thinking and talking, and we're not sure which one they're going to go with, if they're going to go ahead and pour the footers, put up the building and pour the inside later, or if they're going to wait and pour, you know, depending on how long it takes, I guess, to get the approval. So as soon as we know what that information is, we'll let you know. If you start, if you drive by it before we get to tell you and you see the building going up, that's what choice they went with. Amen? Amen. But I got a call. I got a visit at 2:45 on Wednesday. I was leaving at 3, wasn't going to be there on Thursday, with an invoice for $101,000.
Amen. Praise God.
For this building. It's a COD. You have to pay for it or they're not dropping it. And, you know, I was thankful to the Lord, because we have that in our bank account to pay. We have paid $250,000 towards that building's debt-free so far. Amen? That is huge. That is huge.
Our God is faithful.
Amen.
No, that's okay. No, I was just going to say that, honestly, I hope you can grasp what God is doing for you at a time where other churches are dwindling and just holding on and barely paying bills. God has abundantly put you in a position where not only is he building this building, but it's a confirmation to each and every one of you of the work that's in you to be done. Because I'm telling you that God is speaking to each and every one of you that he's touching this because he believes in you. And he believes that you are going to be bringing people to the Lord and doing what it takes for us to impact this region at the next dimension that God has released to us. Amen.
Amen. Now we're believing.
So we are going to be believing God for great things.
Amen. We're believing him to bring more funds in.
Yes. Amen.
That's part of why these guys are here. We're doing a capital campaign.
Hallelujah.
But,
Amen.
You know, I was writing that check out on a 15-minute notice. And I was just sitting there just being so grateful to the Lord. And remembering that I think that carpet building over there, I think they wanted like $190,000 for that carpet building, if I remember correctly. But the Lord told us not to buy that. But we didn't have the $190,000 back then. And that's how quickly God's raised over $300,000 for this place to have and to be able to purchase some of this stuff with. That's awesome.
Amen. Praise
that is a,
God.
That is a, God is our provider. Now,
yes,
going forward
is.
Into the new year, we'll be dipping
Amen.
Into the bank funds.
Yep.
But I just wanted you to understand how faithful you've been, and how faithful God's been with what you've done. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! The Lord is good. Amen. Now, normally at this time, I say to let's release the children, but they're already PJ'd up and on their way. And let me tell you something, they are snacking good and having a Christmas time. So we're going to let Pastor Jared go and join the fun. Hallelujah. Thank you. And he's going to go and join the fun.
Y'all.
And oh, yeah, get down there. You don't want to miss the snacks and the prizes. My goodness, I couldn't believe we fit all that downstairs today. I'm telling you, it was. We made trip after trip of bringing stuff down. So it's going to be a blessing for those children, and we're thankful for that. You know, as I sometimes come to the end of a year, I just like to remember that the Bible says it's required among stewards to be found faithful. And I thank God that as we are faithful to pursue him, he is so much more faithful to us, it'll blow our mind. And I'm just thinking back over the many things that God helped with and did and just how he has touched lives and done the miraculous. And, you know, I just want to commend you for being faithful in the things that belong to you. and being faithful and living for God and choosing to live the way of faith and deny what the world would say, even if they think it's strange, we follow this gospel. Amen? And really, it's the wisdom of God. And so this morning, as we get ready, you know, we are finalizing our last couple offerings that we can give in 2018. And we cannot deny how faithful and how miraculous God has done. I look around and I remember how God promoted people, how God canceled debt and bills, and just has done so much for us. And God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And so today we're just going to give an offering out of the fact that the Lord says that it is required among stewards to be found faithful. And that when we are faithful over that which we can do, even that little that we can do, God releases unto us the abundance of what he can do on our behalf. Amen? So we're just going to give God our offering today, and we're just going to be thankful that God rebukes the devourer on our behalf, that God touches what we do, that he will increase us and protect the fruit of our life, our jobs, and just everywhere area in our life. God gets involved and does what he does. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God. It's been a great year. You have been profoundly faithful and abundant in blessing our lives, God. And Father, as we get this opportunity to physically sow a seed into the kingdom of God, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are rebuking the devourer on our behalf. God, I thank you that you are opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessing, God, that cannot be contained. Father, I thank you that what your people give is given back to them, pressed down, good measure, and running over, God. And Father, that you make us a delightsome land. God, that you make us a people that others will ask us of the goodness that's in our life, and we can declare the goodness of the Lord. Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Praise God. I tell you what, I get excited when I think about the Lord and what he's done for us. Amen. And you know, sometimes I go back and forth on whether I should preach a message focused on Christmas or not. But today I kind of am. Amen. I'm just going to touch base on some things because I think it's profoundly important for us to recognize some things. You know, sometimes we'll take a lot of heat as Christians that, hey, you're playing regards to pagan holidays and pagan rituals. But I want you to understand something. This may not be the exact time of when our Savior was born. But I will tell you this, that one reason why it was chosen to celebrate Christmas in this time, that some of the darkest days on the face of the earth, especially here in America, was that during this time there was other festivals that had a dark nature behind them and a violent nature behind them. And we chose to put Christmas right in the middle of that time in this nation to break that season. So what I want to encourage you to understand is that the very birth of Christ was signifying a time of darkness being broken on the earth and a commitment from our Father in heaven to bring life, to bring blessing, and to bring the light to the world. Amen. The Lord says in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, it says that first of all, Jesus was sent to bless us. So I want to make sure that during this time we are really considered of the fact that when Jesus was born, life was transformed forever. It wasn't just transformed for a season. When Jesus Christ was born, the earth was transformed and all life was changed for all eternity. And I want to read this to you out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I want you to know that when Jesus was born, he came with a government that had never been released to mankind. It says that he's not just the orchestrator of the covenant of old, but it says that Jesus come and he is the orchestrator of a better covenant. And what I want you to understand is that the very fact that Jesus was born, the gospel was preached and it was good news because he brought life to all men. And he brought a way of living that was to transform our life. You know, when we look at this time in this season, I want you to know that everybody seemed to have a heightened awareness of others. Everybody seems to be focused on other people and thinking about what gifts they can buy and what they can do to do good in the lives of people. But I want you to know that when Jesus first came upon this earth, that mindset in us that comes upon us at Christmas time should be the mindset of how we carry ourselves throughout the year. Throughout the year, our focus should be on others. Throughout the year, our focus should be on doing good amongst our brethren and amongst those who are in this world and doing all we can to rejoice in what God has done for us. I want us to understand something, that God transformed us in this world forever because he has always had a thought towards us. And I just want to share with you about that thought that God has always had towards us. And we're going to look right here in the book of Psalms, chapter 24. The Bible says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." I want you to see again that it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I want you to understand something. That when God made the decision to send his son because he so loved the world, he was confirming to us where his heart has been towards mankind from the beginning. I want you to know something, that the Bible does not say that Jesus was slain as an afterthought. The Bible says that he was slain from the foundation. In other words, when God committed to have humanity, he committed to be our Lord and Savior from the beginning of the thought of us. You know, the confidence you should have in the decision God made by sending Jesus when he could have easily sent judgment, the confidence you should have is that God had a mindset and a heart of love towards you from before you ever even were on this earth. The Bible says that the Lord knows us even before we are in our mother's womb. And what I want you to know is God was so committed to each and every one of us that he chose to send Jesus to make certain that when you were born on this earth, life was provided for you. Goodness was provided for you. I want you to know that God's sending of Christ reflects the most motive, the attitude, and the thought that he has had towards his people from the beginning. Here we see that the whole world belongs to God. And we know that before mankind ever came to the earth, God began to speak to it and prepare it so that when we came, it had all the provision that we needed. It is interesting to me that we would ever question the goodness of God, seeing what he has already done. I want you to know that when the Lord sent Jesus, he gives a confirmation to a word that he gives to us. And this is a very clear word. It's a word that is well known in the body of Christ, and I just want to share it with you this morning, but it's in Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 11. It says this, that God is speaking to us, and he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, the very word of God was that born to you as a son, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father, and the Prince of Peace. And it says that Jesus is coming to bring a peace that would last forever. And I want you to hear right now that the word of God to you today through the celebration of Jesus Christ is that from the very thought of you, the only thoughts God has had toward you is kindness. Even here, he says, "I know the thoughts I have toward you of peace, to bring you to an expected outcome." When God sent Jesus, what he was guaranteeing to all humanity is that, "Trust me, I have provided for you, and I have destiny for you." Amen? Now, right now, I want to break the power of Satan and sometimes our own mind to make us believe that we have done too much that maybe God couldn't forgive us. Or to think that God wants to punish us or leave us without something while we live this life. I want you to know right now that the very fact that he sent his son, the very fact that the Lord said, "For I so loved the world that I send my begotten son," lets us know that God has no thoughts of judgment towards us. God does not desire to send or to break anybody or to destroy a life. Don't ever forget that the boundaries of hell are increased every day. Why? Because it takes every day for people to breathe their last breath and choose to go to hell as opposed to choosing to reach towards God. Because God never meant for one person to take that direction. And when we go there in exact opposition of God. You know, the Bible says that we as people can oppose ourselves. You know, when we think about these words that God is speaking to us, I want you to know that we, without fail, know the will of God towards us. The very fact that Jesus came, the very fact that he was born, confirms the word that God said to us. And I just want to share this with you this morning. What it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because I got to bring humanity into a place of accountability. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Wow. You know, so many times God gets accused of the darkness that happens on this earth. I mean, when tragedy strikes, when lives are broken, when people see people die early and sickness and disease come upon people and violence and murder comes upon schools and wars breaks out, so many times you hear people say, "If God is so good, why would he let this happen?" I want you to understand something. God is so good that he provided Jesus that every single person on this earth could be living under the obedience and the authority and the love of God, and we would not have violence, death anywhere. See, this is the accountability we have to come to. The Bible says that it is the will of God for all men to be saved. So when we know that there are literally millions of people on this earth and that have lived in a history that opposed and hated God, even declared him not to be God, declared atheism and everything else, we know that those people added to the kingdom of darkness, and those people brought destruction instead of life on this earth because they refused and rebelled against the will of God. So it's time for us to not lay it at God's feet when tragedy and tough stuff strikes us. We have got to accept the fact that there is a devil at work, and there are people who've been in unity with a darkness that has brought something on the earth that never should have been. Well, hallelujah. May not be preached on TV, but I'm telling you the absolute truth. It is the will of God for every man and woman to be saved. You know, we just read where the Bible says that we should make prayers and supplications for all men and for those in authority so that we could live a good and peaceful life on this earth. I got to ask us a question. Don't raise any hands. But how many of us has consistently prayed for all people? How many of us have consistently prayed for those that are in authority over our lives, over our workplaces, over our school, over the places that we interact and go in and out of, over our leaders that are over our state and these different things? How many of us consistently as Christians are playing and motivated to stay in those arenas instead of the gossip and complaining arena? Hallelujah. I tell you what, I see a whole lot. Well, I don't because I'm not on it. But I hear a whole lot of stuff posted on Facebook that you'd be better off not to post that trash and get to your knees. Well, hallelujah. Listen to me. The Lord says clearly, it is my will that all men, every child, every woman, every man would be saved. If we truly operated with everybody around us saved, could you imagine the difference in our lives? Could you imagine if in this region which we live, there was only Christian people? We would never have to open the obituaries and read about the murder and the violence and the degradation of drugs and discouragement and all kinds of hurt that have come upon us. You know, we have got to be people that understand that it is the will of God for men to be saved. And where we don't see God actively working in the lives of people, we are going to see hard things and difficult. But God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to be strengthened. God wants us to know that He's with us and He's working on our behalf. He says, I would. And I would desire that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus is the Lord and the reason for the season and the answer God gave to every one of us. You know, I want to read something to you out of the book of Ephesians here. Hallelujah. I want to read to you out of the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to see some things that the Lord has spoken unto us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Pray to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I want you to know that this is a powerful scripture and a powerful moment for us to reflect on Jesus, because it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I want you to know that, first of all, salvation is not just a backup plan for God. It is the purpose and the destiny of why Jesus came to join us back to our Father. And I want you to hear that it says that from the foundation, in other words, from the very beginning thought of God and man, God refused to to allow there to ever be a time where the devil or anything else could separate us from our right to be his children. Hallelujah. I want you to know that in this scripture, it says that we were predestinated. You know, now we have to be careful here because doctrinally, this term has been misused even within the church wrongfully in the past. There used to be a doctrine, I pray it's not taught and believed too much today, but it used to be that people thought predestined mean that there was people predestined to go to heaven and predestined to go to hell. But we know that not to be true because the Bible says that God would that all men would be saved. That the Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It means that God is no respecter of persons. And it means that if you are breathing and you've ever had breath in your body and you've ever been born over the centuries in the time of mankind, you have within that alone a promise that God loved you and wanted you here. Remember, the Bible says that in him we live, breathe, and have our very being or our very existence. You know, the very fact that carbonation is turned into oxygen and brought forth every day for you to breathe means that God loves you. Amen. But I want you to know what was predestined. What does it mean to be predestinated? I want you to know that before you were ever in your mother's womb, God predetermined for you to be saved. Now, it's our choice. We have our free will. But what predestined means is that God absolutely prepared, predetermined, and purposed your right to be saved. Woo! He made certain that if you were going to be born and if you were going to live this life, he prepared a pathway for you to be saved and for you to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what predestination means. It means that God so loved you that he predetermined that he was willing to pay whatever price was necessary so that you, as his dear, loving children, had a right to choose him. He says, I put before you life and death, and I pray that you choose life. In other words, understand my love for you. My love is that I so love the world and the people that I created that even if it costs me the life of my beloved son, I'm willing to pay that price so you can come and be the beloved part of the family I've chosen you for. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I want you to know something. That as we step into these next days and we take this moment to celebrate the birth of Christ, I want you to know that for me, I pray that we learn from it that some of the things we do at Christmas time shouldn't be just left for Christmas time. Oh, come on, I gotta get with this just for a minute. You know, at Christmas time, we'll do what we can to even call up some of our relatives and say, hey, now I'm inviting so-and-so, and I know that you guys don't always get along, but please, for Christmas time, can we just get along? You know, we'll sit there and we'll say, hey, I know that this is usually a difficult situation. Even among spouses, you'll be talking, oh, I don't want to, but I got to invite Aunt Susie, or I got to invite my sister, and we just ain't been getting along, but I'm just going to invite him because it is Christmas time, and I just believe that, you know, we can get through this day. Listen, I'm glad that you do that. I'm glad that at Christmas time, we focus on others, and we focus on loving each other, and we focus on this stuff, but I want you to know that Jesus did not come to have that temporary impact. I want you to know that God came and the love of Christ came so that the mindset we have at Christmas would be the mindset that we keep as Christians. Amen? And I pray that for us, we recognize the love of God. We recognize the price he paid. And we recognize the determination of God to provide for us. And why don't we work in 2019 to make sure that we're determined to reflect love towards others like he reflected towards us? Let's predetermine that in 2019, even if it costs us laying down our life, suffering some loss and some rejection, that we are going to provide the love for others that God provided for us. Amen? It is worth it. You know, this is what I want you to know. That every time God has had to make a decision of us being judged and receiving what we deserve, or him providing a way through love for us to be redeemed, he's chosen to provide love for us to be redeemed. Amen? And I want you to know that without fail, the very fact that Christ came is our confidence of how much he's loved us and how much he's wanted us to be blessed. Amen? God is with us. Amen? God is on your side, and God wants to do for your life. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I just got to ask this question. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Is there anybody in here today that is not saved and following the Lord? Hallelujah. Just want to give you a time, which is salvation.